The things that we had to do was set the table. So mom and dad would cook, and we had to set the table. Now, if your house was anything like mine, the table wasn't always clean when we showed up there. It's normally piled high with other stuff. And so setting the table first meant cleaning the table off. Then you'd wipe it down, right? There's always something crusty on there, right? Y'all know that crusty. You don't know quite what it is. It's usually at one of the family members' seats. You don't want to name names, but there's one family member that was a little messier eater than the rest. And so you're like, man, what did you do over here? You know, you're scrubbing that down. And then you clear the table, and then you set it, right? That's how you set the table. That's how we did it at our house. Now, setting the table as we enter 2022 is going to be important for us because there's going to be stuff that we've brought in from last year that's probably stuck to the table that needs to be scraped off. Y'all seen those little dishing tools that, you know, they're like hard plastic. You kind of have to work them. You might have to pull that off and scrape off from 2021, right? But we got to clear the table. We got to wipe it down. And then we got to begin to set the table for the meal, for the feast, right? You don't set the table to set the table. And I think sometimes we get trouble with that. We want to set the table to have a nice clean table. That's not why we set the table to feast. To partake of the goodness of God, the presence of God, the purpose of God for our lives, for the earth. But setting the table is work. So then the table is an intentionality. We can be maybe so focused on setting the table that we forget the meal and that we got to be careful about that. But we do have to set the table so that we can enjoy the meal. Because if the table's not set right? Have you ever sat down for a meal and things were missing? It kind of ruins the meal, you know? I got to get up and go get the knife. I got to get up and go get the Chick-fil-A sauce. I got to get up and get that thing that I need to make this what it's supposed to be. Now, when we were growing up, if it wasn't at the table, we didn't get it, you know. You couldn't leave. So you had to, like, make sure everything was there, you know. Ketchup, everything, all the sauces. That's what was served, you know. I know that's old school. But I want to look at this morning a passage I think that's going to help us and just give us some thoughts as we set the table for 2022. And I'm going to, out of a familiar passage, I'm going to read out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do we have that on the screen? And can y'all do me a favor? This is the ESV. Can we read that together? All right, everybody, let's read this together. One version, we're all going to read the same version. I'm going to say begin and we'll begin, okay? Ready, begin. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. Which is your spiritual worship. And acceptable and perfect. Thank you. I'm going to read two different translations of that same passage you just received this time. Thank you for participating. Just listen to this. These are two. Try to give us a fuller kind of grasp of what the passage is meaning. This is the New Living Translation. It says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. One more passage, this is the NIV. One more version. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning set the table for the meal you want to give us this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in a book called Setting the Table, a man by the name of Danny Meyer, he was a restaurant owner, and talking one time to a mentor, a legendary restaurateur named Pat Sita, Danny was bemoaning his inability to communicate and helping his staff see the standard of excellence he wanted his staff to operate at. And so he was sitting at his table talking, kind of his frustration, and this mentor says, Danny, do something for me. He says, clear the table. And so Danny took everything off the table. And he says, I want you to put this salt shaker at the center of the table. And so Danny put it at the center. And he said, is that where you want it? And so he looked back and he moved it maybe a quarter of an inch. I think that's at the center. He goes, okay. And then his mentor took it all about 4 inches off and he goes, now put it back at the center. So Danny picked it up and he put it back at the center. And then the mentor took it and he put it to the edge. He said, now put it back at the center. And so he took salt shaker and he found the center and he put it back. He said, the job of everybody who comes into this restaurant and your employees is to move the salt. That's what they're going to do. They're going to move it. Your job is to make sure it gets back at the center. You don't need to be frustrated by that. That's your job. You recenter the standard of excellence that you're going for. Now, most of us in this room aren't managers. Maybe you are a manager, but maybe you don't have a staff, maybe you do. But here's what you do get to manage. You get to manage your life. Your life is what you manage. And you know what? Things are going to happen that this salt shaker, your life, things are going to get moved around. Your job is to make sure that what's at the center stays at the center. Right? This is called repentance, right? We look up and my life is off center. We don't, oh my gosh, what happened? You're living in the world, right? Things happen, trials, tribulations, temptation, sin. You pick that salt shaker up and you put it back at the center. That's our job, to put it back. We don't get upset by that, but we put it back in the center. Now, what are we doing here in this passage? It says this, the good news of God's mercy is at the center of your faith. I want you to think about that. The good news of God's mercy is at the center of your faith. When we come to God, what's at the center of our faith is God's mercy. When we approach God, this is different from every other religion, every other approach to God on the planet. We don't approach God and God says, look, here's the seven pillars. And if you'll do these, you can approach me. That's not how God asks us to approach him. We don't say, hey, here's all your religious acts. Did you do them? Did you get those? And that's how you approach him. The center of our faith is the mercy of God. I beseech you, I implore you, I appeal to you, I urge you, the scripture just said, by the mercies of God, in view of God's mercy. So when we approach God, we put at the center his mercy. Now what is the mercy of God? The mercy of God is the reality that he loved you enough to bring you near him. That's the mercy of God. Mercy is the fruit of his love. Mercy also implies judgment. It's funny how we love mercy when we need it. I remember I was having some interaction with my kids this week, and one of them cried out, have mercy, Dad. Right? Have mercy. Well, what does that imply? It means that something else should be happening, but we want mercy. And so that's what happened when, because of our sin, because of our record, because of our failings, we deserve something. And because Jesus came into the world and bore our judgment, we get mercy. See, Jesus was judged so that you get mercy. So how are you approaching God in 2022? Is it by the mercy of God? Because the temptation is going to be to approach God based on your record. Have you obeyed God this week? Is there that sin in your life that you put up as the standard of that you're doing okay? Did you do okay in that sin? And so therefore, you're approaching God, or do you approach God out of his mercy? Because it's that reality. It's that center of our approach to Jesus that we can come confidently and sit at the table and look at God face to face. Not because we deserve to be there, because he's faithful and he has mercy on us. The good news of God's mercy is at the center of our faith. You know, it's not at the center of our faith, this church. Our vision to change the world, missions, reading our Bible. Now, reading our Bible might help us see the mercy of God. That's important. But even reading the Bible isn't the goal. The goal of reading the Bible is to see God and his mercy. We're setting the table. We've got to put the mercy of God at the center. World missions, social justice, worship, Bible reading, our obedience are not at the center of our faith. His mercy is at the center of our faith. Now, those things come out of his mercy. It comes out of sitting at a table where the mercy of God's at the center, and it should, but it's not at the center. And if we put those things at the center, then we're going to mess up the whole table. Now, let's clear everything off, looking at 2022. Let's scrape off 2021, right? Let's wipe over it really good, and let's put the mercy of God at the center. If you put faith in Christ alone, if you've seen the judgment of God put on Jesus so that you could receive his mercy, then you're putting the mercy of God at the center of your life. Let's start there. Let's set the table for God to do something awesome this year, but let's start with the mercy of God at the middle. That's going to help us set the table, because if we don't do that, we're going to think that when we get to eat good, it's because of something we did. You know what happens when that happens? We look down at those who aren't eating good, right? We have this thing in our family, of a family group text where we send pictures of our food to each other, right? We're not so arrogant that we put them on social media. We just send it to our siblings, right? Look at that, you know? And then we think, because we've done something, man, look at this meal. I mean, we ate better than yesterday. We were laughing because we were sending how bad our meals looked. But look at this. That's how good we got it. You know, it was like half-eaten hot dog, you know. Look at that. But see, if we don't put the mercy of God at the center, then we think we're eating good because we're good. What does that mean? That means we look down on those who don't eat good. Start there. The mercy of God. Second thing we see is that true and proper response to God's mercy. True and proper response to God's mercy. And let me just hit on this, kind of work this point home again, because we have a tendency to put confidence in ourselves. I've been picking up disc golf lately. Do we have any disc golf? We had a couple disc golfers in here. It's fun. I've enjoyed it recently, but I went out and I hadn't played in a while. And if you've ever played golf, real golf, if you're not very good and you have friends that aren't very good and you're good, you play super ball, which you allow guys to come who aren't very good. I've played maybe a handful of times, and I'll play super ball, which means everybody hits the ball, but you play the best shot. And then you go to that end and everybody hits the ball again and you play the best shot. What I've noticed is that I'm just there to hit my ball in the wrong direction. because we never play my shot. But I get to participate, which kind of makes me feel like I'm playing golf, you know? And so I went playing, I hadn't played disc golf in a while. I went and played with some guys who were really good. Derek is here, he's really good. And I'm throwing every time, and I'm getting upset. You know, mine's going in the dirt. It's going that way. It's going that way. And, you know, Derek goes up there, and he just lays right by the hole. We're playing his shot. And that, what I have a tendency to do is get so upset because we're not playing my shot. Well, let me just help you. We ain't never been playing your shot. We've got somebody who walks up to the tee every time and puts it in the hole. We're playing his shot. Now, he'll let us play with him, right? He'll let us come alongside and we'll throw our best shot. I mean, that was good. And then he'll hole it. You know what I mean? And then he's like, we're going to play my shot. Now, we get to participate. We get better. But we don't play our shot. We play his. We get better at it. We were going yesterday and I was playing Super Bowl with my family or 2 days ago. And my daughter, who's like, we don't usually take her shot. And she's so mad, you know. It looked the same way all day. And every time, man, it's not what I want. You've never played before, you know? But one time she picked up the thing and threw about 50 feet and just holed it. I literally fell down. I got so excited, it was muddy. I was like, yes, and I fell down. Because she was on my team, we played her shot. And every once in a while, God lets us play a shot. But we play his shot. And let us have, man, you know what's fun when you're playing with somebody who's really good and you're not playing your shot? You get to have a good time. You get better. You don't have to worry about hitting the, you take the pressure off. We get to play the game. All right, true and proper response to God's mercy is putting our whole and current person in the center of God's hands. The true and proper response to God's mercy is putting our whole and current person in the center of God's hands. This is what the scripture says. It says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Your bodies. Why not your soul? Why not your spirit? Why your body? What was it that Paul was trying to get across here with your body? Because you're a whole person. Body, soul, and spirit. And God wants all of it. And we have a tendency in this culture right now, in the way we view who we are, that we separate our body from who we are. But God says your body is a part of who you are. We as Christians and those who read our Bible have a high view of the body. God gave you a body. God put on a body in Jesus. He died bodily and he rose from the dead in his body. So what we do with our bodies is important. What we do in this life is important. Your body helps define who you are. I'm a white man. I didn't get to choose that, but that's what God made me. Do you get that? And so I'm not going to give God what I'm not. I'm going to give God what he's given me, and that is my body, my soul, and my spirit, my whole body. Now, I can't give God, and we have a tendency to do this. We're like, man, when I get cleaned up, when I get some character, when I get a winning streak, I'm going to give God my body, my life. See, Jesus said, I want your body right now. I want your career. I want your calling, but I want where you are right now. I want your future. Yes, I want that. I want your dreams, but I want where you are right now. And sometimes we have a tendency to say, hey, God, I'm going to give. The only response to your mercy is everything, but I'm going to wait till I get my stuff in order before I give it to you. But that's not what he says. He says, in response to the mercy of God, present what you got. Now, you might be struggling. You might be struggling in your marriage. You might be struggling in your parenting. You might be struggling at your job. You might be just, everything's a struggle. That's what you give to God. God, I don't have it all together. In fact, I don't have a lot together. But what I got, I'll give you. Okay? Now, if you got a good marriage, give that to God. Let him use that, praise God. If you have, your family life is going, you're in a season of victory and excitement, praise God, give God your family. If you're a student and you got good grades, give God your passion to excel. If you're struggling, give God that too, but give where you are. You can't give where you're not. Present your whole bodies. D.L. Moody famously said this. He says, the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. That salt keeps moving. Come on, body. Let's put it back at the center. Jesus at the center of my life. Jesus at the center of my life. Living sacrifices crawl off the altar and they need to be adjusted. Now, I think this is important because we have a tendency to kind of mystify the purpose of God. What's God calling me to do? What's my purpose? I know I wrestled with this decades. Like, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to do what you're doing, but do it as if it's an offering to me. Let's demystify the purpose of God, because if you read the scripture, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, understanding God's will is important, but what are you doing right now? You can't even discern God's will. You can't even discern his calling unless your body is laying on the altar. My whole life is yours, God. Let's do that. In fact, just to bring this home, 1 Corinthians 7:24 says this, each of you, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, dear brothers and sisters, should remain as you were when God first called you. The Corinthians were getting saved, man. They were excited. Man, we're saved. What are we going to do? I want you to do right what you're doing. You're married? Stay married. Because they were like, should we just get divorced? Should we go do something? No. You got married? Stay married. You got a job that's crummy? Stay in your crummy job and do that for the glory of God. Now, if you can make it better, make it better. But do where you are with excellence. Present where you are as a gift from God, not where you want to be. God, I'm going to give you my $1 million. Well, let's give him your $5. You know? Like, let's talk about that $5 that you have right now in your pocket. Give that. And then maybe God will bless it. Maybe he won't. Maybe you're just a $5 giver. Praise God. But give it for the glory of God. Stay as you are. Why? Because that's where you are. Now, God might increase that, and I hope he does, and I think he will. But he won't get you there without working where you are. Give your bodies, your whole life, your whole person as a sacrifice to God. True and proper response to God's mercy is putting your whole and current person in the center of God's hands. If you're a student, be a student for the glory of God. If you're a brother and a sister, be one that encourages your siblings. Are you a son or a daughter or a father and a mother? Do it for the glory of God. Are you a grandfather or a grandmother? Are you a retiree? Do it for the glory of God. Present your whole bodies right where you are as a sacrifice, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. That next step, that next venture, that next thing God's calling you, do what God's called you to do now, where you are, and see what doors God might be opening for you. Your bodies, your whole person. Finally, set your table on purpose. Set your table on purpose. I'm going to get into this more next week, but Paul says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that assumes a lot. There's a lot to unpack on that. But I'm going to just base level, and we're going to dig in next week, but base level is this. You got to live on purpose. It doesn't say, there's a term now in a lot of Christian communities called spiritual formation. It's just a fancy word of saying discipleship, sanctification, becoming like Jesus. We'll call it spiritual formation. You don't get to choose whether you're being formed or not. You are being formed according to the scripture. You're being formed. And the picture here in Romans is a mold. You're being forced into a mold by the world around you. You are being formed. You're either being deformed or you're being transformed. But you're being formed. Now, if you're not consciously being formed to Christ, then you're being formed into something else. Do you get that? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be forced into the form of the world, the mold of the world, but be transformed by the way you think, a new way of thinking. Now, think about that. The only way for you to be transformed is for you to think differently. And the only way not to think the same way is to know how you're thinking. That takes a moment of pause, a moment of reflection. We're not good at that. We're not good at that. We want to consume all the time. If you're busy and all you do is consume and all you do is just everything's in and you're the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, you don't take time to think about what are you doing and why are you doing it? You could be being formed or deformed into the image that the world has for you instead of what Christ has for you. You have to set your table on purpose. Now, it says pattern or customs. That means what you do day in and day out with your life. That forms you. What you do day in and day out forms you. I'll give you an example. And this was from an example from a book I just am reading by John Tyson called, I think, Beautiful Resistance is the title. But he says, he's in New York. He's a New York City pastor. And he says this, people who live in New York City walk faster than anybody in the country. Let me help you. You don't get to New York City, get a job, and they say, have you been up in our walk faster orientation? See, you're welcome to New York City. In this city, we walk faster. This is how you do it. It's all subconscious. You show up, you get in the culture of the city, and you walk faster subconsciously. What does that mean? Well, that means very clearly that you are being formed by the culture around you, and you didn't even know it. I'm walking faster. No one told me to walk faster. No one trained me to walk faster. I'm just walking faster. Why? Because the culture around you is putting pressure on you to live a certain way. Well, think about that for your life. You currently are doing things right now, consciously, subconsciously, unconsciously, that you didn't even choose to do. You probably get up and the first thing you do, many of us in this room, is pick up our phones. No one trained us to do that. Hey, when you wake up, pick up your phone. Right? But we have a subconscious thing, and so that's forming us. Even sociologists and leaders in the tech industry will tell you that social media is forming us. It's very toxic to young people. Now, it just happens. It is part of the culture. So, why am I saying that? Because if you're not living on purpose, someone else is forming you into their image. What do you want to look like? What do you want to become? It's bombarding with the images that are being put in front of you. How you walk. What you really want out of this situation is probably being influenced by the images that you see. If we're going to set the table for 2022, then we need to take a moment and think about what we're giving our lives to. And I don't just mean like, esoterically, like, what are you giving your life? I want to give my life to peace and joy and a better world. No, I'm talking about, what are you giving your life to, like, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock? And then at 7:30? And then at 8? And then at 8:30? And throughout your day, what are you giving your time for? What are you doing with your life? Because those things are forming you. They're shaping you. Now, think critically about what you're doing and why. Because that's going to set you up for what God is going to have you to do. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Transforming of the mind. I mean, just look at the full picture of these two verses. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But what got you there? It wasn't just information. If information could help us and save us, we'd been saved. We got more information than we know what to do with. But look at that whole, your bodies present as living sacrifices. Don't be conformed to the pattern and the habits and the customs of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your. So this transformation of the mind and the life has a lot to do with what you do with your body every day and what you do with the customs and the habits that you perform and the information that you're putting in your mind and your body and your soul. It's a holistic picture. It's not just a verse that you pick up and let someone read to you off the Bible app. Like, that's not going to change the heart and the soul. It transformed the life. Now, it's a piece of the puzzle. But there's a bigger picture here for transformation. What have we said this morning? We said this: setting the table for what God has for us. And you know what? 2022 might be a filet mignon dinner. It might be. Your 2022 might be the year of breakthrough. And I hope it is. I love filet mignon. Fingerling potatoes and al dente asparagus. Like, let's go, baby. But you might get really bad hot dogs. That might be what's coming for you. I don't know. But whatever it is, let's prepare for it. Let's set the table so that whatever God puts on our plate, we eat it for the glory of God. Right? We look at God and we're like, this is great, God. Thank you. Right? But set the table and prepare for it. So how do we do that? First and foremost, the mercy of God must be at the heart of our relationship with God. Not your performance. Not did you get everything right in 2021, and therefore 2022 is going to be awesome. Imagine if you had a great year in 2019. Man, I did everything right in 2019. And then 2020 came. What happened, God? Life happened, right? So the mercy of God is at the center of our relationship with God. We approach God because of his mercy, what he's done. Okay? Second of all, we make sure that our lives are at the center of his hands. Our whole lives, his current lives, what you're struggling with, what you're insecure about, what you're anxious about, what you're struggling with, all those things, bring your victories, bring it to the Lord. And finally, set up your lifestyle, set up your vision for 2022, and set the table and do it on purpose. Ask some questions. Why am I spending 3-4 hours a day watching TV? Why do I do that? I don't really want to do that. I just find myself doing that. Or why do I do this with my body? And I'm not, I know I should be in shape, and I know I should be exercising. Why am I not there? This isn't about getting a vision for the future and making everything happen today, but it is about walking a path to where God wants you. If you're not in good health, you're not going to be in health, good health tomorrow. It's not like New Year's resolution, I'm going to be healthy. No, but we can walk a path towards health, right? If we're not spiritually healthy, we're not going to get healthy tomorrow. But we do need to start doing some things that make us healthier every day. Showing up here is a big part of that. Being a part of a life group is a big part of that. Spending time with God across the table, looking into his eyes and seeing his love for you is a big part of that. So, as we close, application. Every year we do this as a church family, okay? Along with fasting, which we're going to do, is that we do what we put out a tool called a rule of life, okay? And what a rule of life is, a trellis. We talked about that before. Or what's that construction metaphor? Scaffolding, thank you. A scaffolding or a trellis for a grapevine, right? We abide in Christ, we produce fruit. But a trellis keeps our lives up so that we can abide and that fruit flourishes, okay? So what are the habits, the rhythms, the patterns of your lifestyle that give you the best chance to be the most fruitful? That's what we do. Now, that can be a little overwhelming and daunting, okay? So we have a guide that Josh Lovick and I put together, and it's on the app. If you haven't got that, it's under spiritual resources, I think. How to do a guide for a rule of life. And that just gives you a systematic thing to go through. This is at the beginning of the year, re-looking at my patterns and rhythms and lives and goals, helping me align my heart so that I can be fruitful and abide in Christ and be fruitful this year, okay? So that's my encouragement to you as an application. As we get into this new year, we do this a couple times a year so that we refocus. We put the salt shaker back at the center of our lives and say, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pour into my marriage? How am I going to pour into my, raise my kids for the glory of God? How am I going to seek maybe a career and a calling and a dream that God's put in my heart? Let's start to do those things systematically and set up a rhythm so that we abide in Christ the whole way. Does that make sense? Okay, let's stand to our feet as we close this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we approach you this morning, not because we did everything right in 2021 or did everything right yesterday. We approach you today because of the mercy of God. I just want you to receive the mercy of God this morning. If you need his mercy, and I'm guessing most of us do, if not everyone in this room, just lift your hands in an attitude of surrender, an attitude of reception. Just receive the mercy of God. Christ died. Christ was rejected so that you could be accepted. Christ was punished so that you could be forgiven. Christ was broken so that you could be made whole. Receive the mercy of God today. If you've trusted in Christ alone for your salvation and repented of your sin, and he is the Lord of your life, then you are a son and a daughter of God. Not because you did everything right, but because he adopted you for his purpose and for relationship. Receive the mercy of God this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out the mercy of God on every heart in here. Take away the shame and the guilt. Give us strength to walk a new way. Encouragement to lift up our head and turn away from our sin and follow Jesus with our whole lives. Receive the mercy of God this morning. It was 2022. If Jesus isn't at the center of your life, then that's not the appropriate response for his sacrifice and his love for you. His mercy demands that we give everything for him. Our whole lives. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you know this morning that Christ isn't at the center of my life and I want to make him the center of my life today, I want you, right where you are, to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for not making you the center of my life. I repent. I push away everything else that I put at the center. I want you to be my center. I want you to be my reason. I want you to have my affection and my life. Right where you are, out of your own mouth and your own words. Tell Jesus you want him to be the center of your life this year, the center of your lifestyle, the center of your habits. The center of your affections and your delight. Jesus, have your way in me this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? This is what I know. Living sacrifices crawl off the altar. And what's nice is when we get on the altar with other friends and say, hey, if I start to crawl off, drag my tail back up here. Okay? If you don't have those kinds of friends, You need to ask Jesus for them, pray, and then you need to do something to position yourself to build those. Life groups are one way that can happen. But if you can't get in a life group and you're saying, Blake, I want that and I can't, come see me. We'll find a way to get you, start building those relationships because we need them. Amen? Guys, Happy New Year. Thank you for being here this morning. Before you leave, turn around and greet someone. Tell them you're glad they're here. We'll see you next week.